It's time to take a break with Gene and Mary. Every weekday at noon Eastern, join us as we talk about what's on our minds. Email us at contactgeneandmary@gmail.com or interact with us on Facebook for your chance to win a pork chop participation prize every week.
Warning, 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 warning. Side effects may include jocularity, increased knowledge, and a great way to spend 15 minutes. Hey, Gene.
Hey, Mary, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm just peachy. You know, that's my goal.
A peachy, apple-y, peachy. Orangey? You'd be an ambrosia if you're not careful.
Well, peachy I like because you can smile ear to ear when you say it.
Peachy. Yes. Peachy does make your mouth spread out. Today's February 18th.
Oh, my.
And for those of you who missed it, yesterday was Gene's birthday. You should send him a happy birthday greeting on our Facebook page, and that will qualify you for the opportunity to win a pork chop participation prize.
Sure. Tickle me and win a prize.
Yeah. But today is February 18th, and it is battery day. Now, I'm hoping that's like an A battery, a C battery, a D cell battery that you put in your flashlight. Not like, what do you call it?
Battery.
batting somebody upside the head. Yeah. It's also crab stuffed flounder day. As if we care.
Well, you know, I mean, I've had that before, but I don't know a whole day for it.
Yeah. Now here's what I can wrap my hands around. It's drink wine day.
Okay. That's popular day, I'm sure.
I like wine. I haven't had a lot to drink lately, but that's okay. I drink in extreme moderation these days. Unlike I did more than 20 years ago when I could chug a lug straight bourbon without even thinking twice about it.
Oh my. Yeah. I used to drink more than I do now. I'll tell you what.
Trust me. My liver has told on me and it says you need to stop doing that.
Well, you know, wine has been popular drink throughout human history.
Yes.
I mean, personally, there was a day when I was like doing some dating when I was younger, I'd take a bottle of Mad Dog on a picnic. And if my date had shared the bottle, drink out of the bottle with me, we had a second date.
Oh man, you are a big spender. Look at you. Please
separate the women from the girls on that one.
I tell you what. Yeah. Most of the women would say, you're going to give me what kind of drink?
Yeah.
No, I want something a little bit more expensive than the Mad Dog.
Well, I just want them to understand what they're getting into.
Let them know right up front.
Yeah. No surprises.
No surprise. That's actually a good way to be.
And I'm still single 25 years later.
Well, maybe we know why, Gene. Perhaps I should teach you a little bit about wine drinking. Interesting little side story. My husband and I made friends with an actor, a guy from Hollywood named Richard Hatch, not the guy from Survivor, but he was the guy from Streets of San Francisco, Battlestar Galactica. He's no longer with us. But he was also in Days of Our Lives. Mm-hmm. And we just became friends with him. Too long of a story to get into that. But we met up with him one time in Atlanta. And we went out to dinner with him and several other people. And we'd been socializing with Richard quite frequently on cruise ships. He would take celebrity cruises and we'd meet up with him there. And Curtis and I were at the table and my son was actually living in Atlanta at the time. Excuse me. So I invited him to come join us for dinner and meet Richard because he knew that we knew him. And so the three of us had ordered the same meal and I had talked to the sommelier and asked him what wine would go with it. And he made a suggestion. So we were drinking this Pinot Noir, very expensive bottle of wine. Pinot Noir is not always expensive, but this one was because of the restaurant that it was in. And the sommelier, who is the wine expert, explained very subtly, because I told him, I said, I've never had this before, but I want to look like I know what I'm doing. He said, not a problem. So he showed us and told us how you're supposed to swirl the wine in this particular type of glass. It's a balloon glass, they call it, so that the any fragrances from the room that might have settled onto the wine are dispersed. So then when you drink it, you just get the wine. And he told us how to swirl it in our mouth. He was very, very subtle. So Richard, who actually had a habit of always coming into a meal or anything late to make his little Hollywood entrance, mm-hmm. he walked in just about the time, just after we'd had our little lesson in the wine drinking. And Curtis was sitting there looking, you know, he was holding his wine glass and he's swirling it and he took a little sip of it. And Richard said, I want what they're having. And so later he said, I never knew that Curtis knew how to drink wine. And I said, well, I guess he does. He says, well, I've just always seen him with a beer in his hand. I said, well, beer might be his preference, but for dinner, he's going to be drinking wine. And so it changed the way Richard looked at Curtis from that point on.
Sure.
Interesting.
Sure. Sure it would. I mean, and you know, you think about wine, it's so, it permeates our whole civilization. Stories about it, things we use it for. And I mean, one of the things you think about, even in, we talked about religion sometimes on this show, and one of the things that called transubstantiation is a religious ritual where you drink wine and you're symbolically ingesting the essence of the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
As a ritualistic enhancement for yourself.
Brings me to another segue, little side story here, real trying to be quick. Uh-huh. My first husband and I had befriended a Catholic priest, and we would often have him over for dinner. And if anybody knows the story of Mary and Martha in the Bible, Martha was the one who was always cooking and cleaning and preparing, and Mary was the one who was sitting at Jesus's feet. Well, our friend was no Jesus, but he was a very nice, interesting, well-educated, worldly kind of guy. And I was drawn to him on an intellectual level. And so I would often sit at the table with him talking while my ex was up doing the dishes. And one day, one evening after we'd had dinner, he said, this is like being with Mary and Martha, only he's Martha and you're Mary. I said, well, interestingly, I am Mary. But he said that he felt like what we had done, because we were talking about religious and not so much religion, but spiritual things, and talking about angels and relatives who might visit us after death and things of this nature. And he said, this is the best communion I've ever had. He said, you know, every Sunday or every time I say mass, I give communion to people, but this is so much better. He said, it's like real communion. This is what Jesus was talking about when he said to, you know, share his story. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay. Now I feel really weird, because I have a word of the day for you that has absolutely nothing to do with what we've just talked about for the last 10 minutes.
Well,
but I'm going to give it to you anyway. It's ICHOR. Okay. ICHOR, I-C-H-O-R. It comes from Greek mythology. It is the fluid that flows like blood in the veins of gods. And there's an archaic use for the word called ICHOR, and it's a watery discharge from a wound. And if you remember talking about Jesus earlier, remember when he was crucified and the Roman soldier came and speared him with his spear in the side?
Uh-huh.
They said that water and blood flowed from the wound. Mm-hmm. So that water would have been ICHOR.
Yeah.
Ichor does originate in Greek mythology, as I said. It's depicted as the blood that the gods bled, even though they were immortal. Supposedly, it's golden in color and fluid in form. It's considered sacred liquid, but harmful to mortals. However, if you see black ichor, it's the blood that runs through the veins of demons. Now, here's an interesting little tidbit. The ichor of the ancient Greeks is blue, or it could be gold, but most of people think it was blue. Blue blood, the color of the blood running in the veins of the Greek gods and European royalty, which is why people often said that kings were descended from gods. Makes you an aristocrat. Blue bloods come from privileged noble families that are wealthy and powerful. The word blood has long referred to family ties. He's my blood, you know. People you're related to share the same blood. One specific type of family is composed of blue bloods. They are the members of our aristocracy. Our, you know, you've heard of people being blood brothers. Right. If they're not related from the same parental genetic line. And this was something that people did a lot more in the past than they do now, but they would cut themselves, usually on their hand, sometimes on their wrist, and hold it on another person's cut in the same fashion to let the blood mingle. Sometimes, depending on the tradition, people would take this blood and these wounds and bind them together for a certain length of time, probably until the bleeding stopped. But that way they, you know, you'd be in close proximity to this person. So what are you going to do? You're going to talk, you're going to get to know them. And sure, that's how you become blood brothers.
Huh. Well, I've seen that before. I've never done it. I don't know. I've always shied away from cutting myself.
I'm more of a pinky promise kind of girl.
Yeah. But you know, I was sitting here thinking too about that water and the blood, the blue blood.
Yeah.
In the royalty veins. I remember a class I took in school. They talked about a royal family in Europe in the Middle Ages that were all anemic, and they thought that had, they called that blue blood because yes, the people had blue blood because they intermarried. Yeah, they took, I guess it's all the recessive genes that made their blood not work.
It wouldn't coagulate. You know, in Hindu, Kali is the goddess of blood.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Now, we have a very, very, very extremely limited time to talk about what Barb researched for us.
Uh-huh.
And those are blood types.
Okay.
So we spent more time on our word of the day than we did the actual topic, but I can run through them. There are only four main blood types.
Okay, that's not too many.
Do you know your blood type?
I am an A positive.
I'm O positive.
Oh,
and there are O, A, B, and A, B. The universal donor, whoop, 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 is O. Yeah. The universal receiver is A, B. But I can only receive type O blood. If you had A, B blood, you could receive blood from anybody. Mm-hmm. Now, there are rare blood types where people have to bank their own blood. The rarest in the United States is AB negative. That's in 0.6% of people.
Wow.
So you have to know if you're going to get a transfusion, you need to know if you're, what your blood type is. You need to know if you're Rh positive or negative, because that makes a difference.
I guess that's my understanding. If you're a positive and you try to get a negative, or vice versa, it doesn't always work.
It doesn't always work out well. I found out my blood type by donating blood to the American Red Cross.
Oh.
Years and years ago. I gave a total of 8 gallons of blood over the course of many years. And it was always a pleasant experience. But then on our honeymoon, we went to Mexico and I couldn't get blood for 3 years after that. And then I went, I think the second time we went somewhere was in Jamaica. So I couldn't give for 3 years after that. And shortly after I started giving blood again, I was put on a medication and they said, you can't give blood on that until you're off it for 3 years. I'm like, But there are other ways that you can find out your blood type. You can go to your doctor. You can go to a clinic or hospital that tests blood, or you can get a home test kit. Did you know that you inherit your blood type from your parents?
Well, that would make sense, I would imagine, since you get all your blood from them.
Now, I didn't know this. I am a type O. Now, this says it is the rarest, although just earlier it said type AB negative was the rarest.
Yeah.
But anybody can use type O, but a type O person can only use type O.
Maybe that's what makes it rare. It
Maybe.
Is rare in that regard.
I don't know.
That anybody
Interesting.
Can. Interesting. Yeah. Well, and something else I had read in a discussion I was having online with some folks about blood types not long ago, that this person with AB negative blood said that they had done research and found out that the AB blood type is very common in royalty and people with in human power settings.
Wow.
They were arguing that there was a correlation. So that's interesting too, I find.
Well, I have one more tidbit to share, and then we probably should be leaving. You'll have to check your clock on that one.
Okay.
Barb found out that up to 53% of Latin Americans and 47% of African Americans have type O positive blood.
Huh.
I have type O, and I am neither of those
interesting
ethnicities. 39% of Asians and 37% of Caucasians have O positive.
Huh.
But then she's got statistics for B positive blood. 25% of Asians, 9% Latin Americans, and 9% Caucasians have B positive. But those are the only ones she gave us.
Huh.
There's only so much you can talk about blood with, you know?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know. You're right. I mean, I would like to maybe we could do another show about blood, because we could get into how they developed the way they type blood. A man actually sat down and developed a way to do this, to figure out what your blood type is. But like you said, that's another show. We got to get out of here. And sure,
yeah.
Appreciate everybody that did join us today. Thank you so much. Hopefully you'll join us again. Please, if you will, go check us out online at beunique.org. You can get details about all our shows and all the goings on here at Be Unique Magazine, Be Unique Radio.
That's BUNEKE.org. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.